under Psalms 1. Psalm 1. We're just going to go through these six verses. I remember when I was first started going to Christian school way back in the day. I don't think I'm that old, but my daughter reminds me that I am all the time. And so I remember this is one of the first passages of Scripture that they had us memorize, Psalm 1. And so it's one that's always been impactful and helpful in my life, and I want it to be a help to you today. What I want to do in the next few weeks is just take passages of Scripture. These are kind of like standalone sermons, and we're going to have some, starting the first week of June, we're going to have some different series in coming. It's going to be awesome. You're going to enjoy it. But the Bible is awesome no matter where we're at. So I just want to take this entire six verses and just share them with you, and I want them to be helpful. I want them to be something that are impactful, changing your life, but also helping you right now. There's a lot of people struggling right now. Even where I've been in the past week and a half, they're more open than we are as far as in a progression of, they've got some different venues open at smaller capacities and things like that. But one thing that I noticed is that even in that, like, people are just, they're not that happy. They're not that excited. Everyone's struggling everywhere for a variety of reasons. And so what I want us to do as Christians, though, I want us to be different as a church, not because we've decided to be different. There's a lot of things that you can do to separate yourself, if you want to use that. I want to be separated to God, not separated away from people. And I also would want us, when we say separated to God and not isolated from man and isolated from the world that's around us, all right? God has called us to something great. I think this passage of Scripture is going to help you here. And so Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, in counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. So we jump right into this thing here, Psalm 1. It's like, bam, just hit you right in the face with it. We're going to go right into this thing. So blessed is, or happy is, all right? Happy is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. I just want to take a minute here and just share with this here. The counsel of the wicked. Can I share with you right now the two most abused words in the Christian vocabulary and what we do? One would be counsel, the other one would be submission. All right, both of these are not possible if you are in agreement already. Nate, what are you talking about? In order for me to submit to something, I have to acknowledge the fact that they know what is better for me. So I'm submitting my will to their will. Submission is not agreement, all right? That's not where that comes in. So many people say, I'm for submitting to authority until you disagree with that authority, and then you revolt, you rebel, and friend, you're not someone who submits. You're somebody who is fine as long as you're in agreement, but that's it. Counsel is another thing that is abused by people, by well-meaning Christian people. What do you mean by that, Nate? Well, how many of you have done this? I know I have. I'm going to keep calling until I get the counsel that I'm looking for. All right? Look, if you have not gotten pure, good counsel that has changed your direction at least once in your life, you're not someone who listens to counsel. You're somebody who wants to justify your actions. That's what you look for. Now, in today's society, that's very easy to do because we can eventually find someone that tells us what we want to hear. And ultimately, this is what this verse is teaching us, is that, look, if you want to be happy, you're not going to let people impact your life that are not going in God's direction. All right. When we talk about wicked, what does that mean here? That's something that we wouldn't use in our terminology today. We would say people that are unbelievers. Some people refer to as unchurched, but these are people that are not Christians. These are not believers. And so when you hear that, I know when you think of that word, you think of something like, wicked, witchcraft, or something like, that's not what it's talking about here. So I want you to understand that. Nor stands in the way of sinners. Everyone has a path. Everyone has a path that they're going on. Many of you right now are watching this at right now, later, whenever, because you're on a path, you want God to change your course. There's a way that people go, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Now, the first three verses are what we're really going to focus on. Not that we're not going to cover all of it, but I really, these are very important for you. Many of us right now are becoming cranky, grumpy old people overnight. Now, some of us were already in that direction. We already were. But this whole, you know, pandemic and lockdowns and different things, it was like a steroid shot for where we were going. Here's what I love the wording here. Those that scoff are always against conspiracy theorists and different things, all right? If you notice here, nor sits in the seat of the scoffers. Have you ever noticed that those who are the ones that complain the most are those that actually get the least done? They are. The biggest lie that is told our society today, don't get upset, I know I'm on a social media platform, but it's this. If you want to change the world, you can do it through a post. What? Then why are the most successful people in the world never on those platforms? Why do they give it to their assistants? Why do they give it to people? How come every time somebody posts something, somebody comes back and half the time they got like a fake handle or a fake, right? I want you to understand something. You're either accomplishing something with your life or you're sitting back and constantly complaining. That's it. And just sitting back and being one of those people that just, you know, complains. Can I be honest with you? That's not the person that I'm looking forward to worshiping with again. That's not the person that you want to be around. You want to be around somebody who doesn't just sit and scoff. You're not a happy person if all you're doing is looking for something to complain about. Look, it's part of our human nature. We can find things to complain about. I can find things to complain about just like you can, and I can be that type of person. But here's the thing. The more that I do that, the less that I'm accomplishing in my own life. Nobody fixed the world from their couch with their phone in their hand. You know, the more chips I eat, the harder it is to choke because my fingers keep getting fatter and going through and you know, not accomplishing anything. The best thing that many of us could do within our life is just hit a reset button for a week, say, I'm not going to watch fill in the blank. Because you're sitting back and all you're doing is find a way to scoff and go, look, the world is chaotic. The world is hypocritical. The church is chaotic. At times, the church is hypocritical at times. The world has fallen people. The church has fallen people. The difference is there's saved, unsaved. Those of us that are saved, though, are supposed to be conforming to the image of God as we're in Him, as we're going to find here in a moment. And I want you to understand something, that if you're the type of person that just keeps finding it where you sit back and complain and complain and complain and complain and complain, you complain so much that you can't even devote an hour of your week to devote yourself to the one who died and saved and changed your soul. Because even with that, you're constantly finding ways to come and nitpick and complain. And look, I'd rather have you stay at home and complain. You say, Nate, what are you trying to like beat me up today? No, I want us to be people that just stop and think. And a lot of times, the only way to change somebody who is in that mindset is to get them to understand really the depravity of who they are and why they are a person that hates the world around them and hates the life that God gave them. For everything that you're complaining about, somebody else is taking that and using it as a positive and understanding the blessings that are right now. Some people are cracking me up. It's like, Man, you have more of an access to blessings around you right now than you have at any other point in your life. Could you imagine if something like this would have happened back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, early 2000s, right? When you couldn't even, now it's like you can constantly interact with people. But maybe that's the problem. Maybe the problem is we just keep interacting with people who keep bringing us down and down and down and down and down and down and down. And we don't know how to think for ourselves. Somebody, a politician, makes an announcement. Well, I gotta go watch the news because I have to go find out how to think about this. I mean, I it sounds like it's a good thing, but I need to have my friends online tell me why it's bad. We just constantly scoff and mock. I don't want us to be a people, and I'm speaking to the people of Solid Rock, and if someone else is watching, that's great, and I wouldn't want you to be somebody who is constantly somebody who just scoffs and mocks and criticizes and goes through, because that is life. Ultimately, you're doing that because you're not trying to change something around you. You're trying to express the unhappiness that's within your own soul, and hurt people, and the reason why you're always trying to tear everybody else down is because you feel like your life, you were treated wrong, unfairly, so now I'm going to make sure that everyone else lives the nastiness, the selfishness, the hell that I think that I live. I'm going to make sure that somebody else experiences that with their life, and we're constantly tearing and scoffing, and that's not the type of person in happiness that we want to be, because but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. So happy people, blessed people, delight in God's word. Can I ask you a question? What makes you happy? Like, what makes you happy? And even that word is kind of a loose terminology, but I want you to just to stop and think for a second. Like, what brings me joy? See, a lot of people don't understand the fact of this. As a Christian, if I'm a follower of Jesus, then why would I not find joy in his word and in his law, and not just come and hear a sermon, but actually stop and think? I'm amazed at how many people will not give biblical thought and reason to life. And I'm talking about godly Christians. They say things like this. Well, you know, the Bible says somewhere in there. Okay, somewhere in there, yeah, that's a pretty thick book, and I'm not trying to be mean-spirited. I'm trying to help you understand that. A lot of times when people say that, it actually doesn't say it in there. And the reason why they say things like, well, you know, somewhere in there, is because they're not constantly thinking and meditating and ruminating on God's word. You see, the Bible kind of talks about when it ruminate, you know, cows have different stomachs, and when they chew the cud, that's what they've already eaten, and it comes back up, and then they chew on it, the nutrients, and that's kind of when it goes through. See, when we take God's word, it's not about reading a ton of chapters a day. It's not about, I've heard some people say, I just read one verse. That's awesome. Stop, think about it, meditate on it day and night. God's word, God's law. No greater time than right now for us to be people that are just entrenched and engulfed in God's word. And we stop and we think about this day and night. You say, Nate, I can't. The Bible is boring. Friend, listen to me. If the Bible was made into a movie, like a movie, and they left nothing out, it would be X-rated. It would be R+, NC-7, whatever they call that, like way up there. Like, it would be way, there's some things it's like, well, what does that mean? You go to start, I mean, you find just all kinds of stuff, and you'll sit down and watch some of the craziest and dumbest movies over and over and over again, and yet we can't take the time to stop. Sometimes people will say things like this, well, you know, that version of the Bible is hard for me to read. Okay, go online, buy one that isn't. That's not the problem. What I mean by that is this. People are trying to make excuses for why they don't take time and partake in God's word. And here's the thing. I spend as much time in the Bible as I want to. As much time. As much time. And so do you. And are we meditating? Because here's the thing. When we're in God's word, there comes a peace that comes, that fills voids that we've left within our lives. And when that peace comes, it's the byproduct, right, of being with Jesus. We talked about this as we're going to go to here in verse number 3. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and the leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. He's like a tree planted by the streams of water. Here's the thing. When we go within God's word and we plant ourselves in that, whatever tree you see, you realize that the tree is not that what is producing the fruit off of the tree. It's the nutrients that comes to it, right? You can't just plant a tree in the middle of a dry place and go, look, I planted an apple tree. It's eventually going to yield apples. No, no, no. You have to go back to what is the source. Will it get the proper nutrients that it needs? The Bible is sharing with us here that people that meditate and love God's word, that as we get into that, the source that comes through, the source that gets to us with the nutrients that comes into it is what causes us to prosper. We will yield fruit when it's time. Now, we can be impatient often. You know, we pull up to a drive-thru line. There's 3 cars. I don't have time for this. So we drive an extra 10 minutes to a place that's got 1 car. If we would have just waited, we would have got our food faster. We're just impatient, right? But what we have to understand is like when we're like a tree that's planted by streams of water, it'll yield fruit in its season. It'll yield fruit. God will lift you up in due time. But are we getting the nutrients that comes in that flows from God? Jesus said, John 15, apart from me, you can do nothing. I'm the vine. Branches, man, I want you to stop and think for a minute in your life, what is coming and producing fruit? Is like, look, what am I attached to, right? Like, look, we all have opinions and things in our life, because just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean that outside of preaching God's word that I don't have an opinion, that I don't have places to go watch news, that I don't have discussions with people outside of the Bible. But here's the thing. Whatever I'm attached to is eventually where I'm going to get my source and nutrients that's going to come out of me. And I've noticed that the more in my life that I spend on some of these sites and reading some of these articles, that it's not making me a better person, it's making me a worse person. If you're probably watching this online right now, it'll be YouTube later, you're watching this on Facebook now. Look, I have literally, in the past couple weeks, this is just a personal thing for me, I'll get on Facebook, I'll make a joke, I'll post something, and I get off. It's not because I'm trying to be mean-spirited or better than anybody else, but the amount of stuff that has started coming out just in the last month, and I'm even talking from born-again people, that you think, man, you ought to just know. I mean, what is going on here? And I cannot let that, I can't let that be the stream that comes in. I can't. When you're somebody who is in God's word, letting that plant and go through, it's bringing nutrients. When I got back into town, I've just started seeing all these green and things are blooming, and I'm like, man, this is beautiful. What happens is what they're attached to causes that to come out of them. And for you, when it talks about there and it says, and his leaf does not wither, it doesn't fade away and rot, and all that he does, he prospers. Now, I just want to take a second here. I used to fall for this. I used to fall for, maybe you did too, where it's like, oh, this is talking about the Midas touch. So if you're close and you're right with God, then that means everything that you do is going to prosper. No, here's what it's talking about here. Whatever season of life you're going through will ultimately provide a prosperous outcome. So here's what I mean by that. You know in your life, and I know that in my life, that those times that I thought were the worst actually later on provided the most fruit and the greatest blessings and the greatest, you know, joy. It made me a better person. For those of you, there's the Michael Jordan documentary that ends tonight, and I got a friend coming over. We're going to watch it. But what you find with Michael Jordan is this, and in his life, he even talked about later being from Michigan. You know, we for most people here, you like the Pistons. It's been tough for a while. But what you find is for Jordan, man, for a couple of years, he just got beat up. And you know what it made Jordan do? It made him stronger. It made him healthier. He started lifting weights. He started getting mentally tough. And he's even said before in quotes, it's like, if I didn't experience them, I never would have become who I am. If I didn't have the hardships and the loss of defeat, I never would have had ultimate victory. So you have to realize this in your life. Don't fall for this. Well, you know, and I'm not prospering, and so therefore, I'm not right with God, and I just need to do harder. Listen, you're either going to operate from a do mentality, like I have to do to gain God's approval, or a done, which is Christ's finished work on the cross is in my life, and that's applied to me. So what I go through, James chapter number 1, if God brings something my way, then it's for my betterment. I'm prospering in seasons of down, of ups. I'm going through, and God is molding and making, and he's creating something, a great work for him. I'm by the streams that's producing fruit. I don't have to work harder to gain God's approval. And for people that fall for these traps of, I got to do better, you don't have to do better. It's already been done for you. And so when you're in Jesus and in his word, whatever seasons of life you're going through are ultimately going to be prosperous for you, because it's him that's molding and making. And it's not about you looking at yourself as the results of your life and going, well, I must not be doing this, because, you know, God would be blessing harder. And God's, you know, I just got to keep working harder to gain God's approval. And, oh, I got some bad news, so I must not be right with God. Listen, you're going to go through seasons where your tree, we see it in Michigan, the seasons. You're going to go through different seasons of your life. Ultimately, though, you have to understand that it's God that is working and molding and making, all right? The wicked are not so, but are like the chaff that the wind drives away. Trees are firm. They're planted. They're by a stream that's getting nutrients. You're not just going to blow them over. They're solid. They got a firm foundation. Our foundation is Jesus Christ. Those are unbelievers. The Bible talks about here. It's like they're like the chaff that the wind drives away. Back then, they would take, and it's not as much for us, but they would take the wheat, and they could just throw it up in the air, and when the wind would come, it would like blow it apart, and the bad parts would just literally go away. James talked about this in James chapter 1 when we went through that. It's like those that are not solid in a foundation with God, you know, they're like the sea that goes up and down, and you're going to find that within your life. I want you to understand that with you, when you're close to God, you're solid, you're firm. When we are not, we're just blown away. The Bible talks about blown away with every change and wind of doctrine, okay? Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. What does that mean? Well, they're not going to. There's nothing to stand. There's nothing to sit. There's nothing there. There's not a life to speak of. If we understood this, someday we will see God face to face. Now, as I already talked about, we're not trying to work solely and gain approval. There's got to be a healthy balance within our life. But if we're solid and planted in his word, there's going to be blessings that come through that. And so my life, the outcome of my life, when I'm just planted in Jesus and giving him my all in all and resting in his finished work, and I'm giving him more and the blessings that come. Someday at the end of my life, if I'm able to you know, just continually going, and I'm trying to take heed lest I fall. There's been many people who have been stronger and greater Christians than any of us watching who have experienced great falling. And in today's society, we don't let anyone that falls get back up. But ultimately, we're going to stand one day before God. Can I ask you something? And I am not trying to downplay the joys of life. We all have things that we do. Do we really think, though, that we're going to impress God with how many vacations we went on? For my family, You know, we don't take a lot of big vacations. If we do go somewhere, it's usually just somewhere to chill by family. And so we will usually save what would be our vacation money, and we'll go to some ball games. My daughter likes to go with me, and we have a good time. Sometimes mom will come along with us, but most times it's just me and her. But I would be a fool to think that someday I'm going to stand before God, and I know there's going to be some jokes coming because of the team that I like, and that's okay. I'm going to be a fool if I think that one day I stand before God and go, you know what, God, I was able to attend 106 Michigan games. I mean, really, what? That's something that in a short moment brought me some peace and some joy to get away with of life in that moment. But that's not something of eternal significance. Even it's not even going to be in a secular sense of, you know, the how many people that at one point the church got or I was allowed to pass. That's the type of stuff that's not, that doesn't matter. It's going to matter of who I was. Was I planted in Him? Was I a blessing to those around me? Did I prosper? Or was I just somebody who was just constantly, don't know where he's at, don't know what he's doing, doesn't have a leg to stand on in those days? For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Here's what it comes down to. God knows. The Bible talks about this. Don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. We can't fool God. He knows. The Bible talks about that there are people that claim the name of Jesus, Matthew chapter number 7. It's one of the saddest verses in the Bible. That someday, these words are literally said to them, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you." Whoa. It literally talks about people that use God to their advantage. So sometimes people say, well, what about people who use the church for their own gain? What about people who, listen, someday we stand before God. I got to worry about me. Christians have made up a lot of phony sayings just to try to appease their own kind. You know, well, you know, the Bible says that we ought to hate the sin but love the sinner. It actually doesn't. That's actually made up by people to justify worrying about the actions of others. You know, the Bible's written for you, it's written for me. I'm to preach and teach what it says, but ultimately, I'm to care for somebody. I'm to share good counsel and love when it's there. But guess who I'm supposed to worry about more than anything? Boom, me. Because someday, I'm going to stand before God. And what everybody else does in their life is not going to matter at all as far as me standing before Him in that moment. I'm going to give an account for what I did with my life. I'm going to give an account for how I took this Bible and how I deciphered truth and how I preached it to the people that I love. And I'm going to give an account for the things that I've said and done, because my actions affect the actions of other people. And you say, well, what about the people who choose not to listen? What about the people? Listen, if I truly believe what the Bible teaches, which is that those that die without Jesus Christ spend an eternity separated and apart from Him, why do I keep piling on? Christian, why are you so mad and why are you so angry? Why? Could it be that because the problem is not with your neighbor, the problem is with yourself? And the reason why your life doesn't feel prosperous and you're not a happy and blessed man is because you are not grounded deep and the streams of God are not coming and flowing and bringing nutrients in your life. And could it be that the reason why you're constantly worried about somebody else's problems and somebody else's issues? Listen, do you believe that there is a place that was one day prepared for us who believe in Jesus to spend eternity with Him? If the answer to that is yes, then let what's going on in the world around you right now, who cares? I'm going to be with Him one day. He died for me. if that doesn't overtake the bad news that I'm watching on TV and change my attitude, literally nothing else will. So I want us to understand that. I want us to be a people that continue to grow and share. We love you. We thank you so much. If there's something that we can do, God bless. Again, SolidRockGR.Church is going to have everything that you need. Throughout the week, we will...